Good day, everybody, or evening, depending on how you listen to this. This is To The Rink Podcast. This is episode 85. Hard to believe. Season 3, 85. Puff, who are we kicking off with number 85? Who's number 85?
Well, first, do you think people are sitting at home listening? I do wonder sometimes how our listeners take in our podcast. I'm assuming for the most part it's in the car driving to the rink, as we sort of thought it would, but I would be curious to see if there's people actually at home listening, which would actually make me laugh. I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to podcasts in the car, at the gym, and on airplanes. I'll download a whole bunch. So
yeah,
those are sort of the three main times I'm listening to podcasts. I think
I would say the same for me.
For new listeners or listeners that don't remember, and I don't expect you to remember, the reason why we called it To The Rink, well, A, because of the wittiness of two of us. However, but it was like the idea was you listen to the podcast on the way to the rink, or maybe even on the way home, I guess. But that was the idea, was to drive. So I think the driving answer is the number one answer. I'm guessing most podcasters list that way.
Yeah.
I don't really listen to podcasts at home.
There'll be podcasts that I really like, and I'll actually look forward to driving on my own so I can listen to it, because I know my family's not going to want to listen to it. So,
like the To The Rink podcast. Do you listen to like the Rink podcast?
I will give it a listen, yeah. And I'll put it on sometimes with the kids in the car just so they can tell me to turn it off.
Yeah, same. Same. Except for I think Clive deep down likes listening.
I'm sure he does. I actually do think it's the younger kids that would get a kick out of it more than our older ones.
Yeah, they think we're cringe.
Yeah, and Max would be the least likely to want to listen to this.
Max probably doesn't even know I do this.
But episode 90, yeah. 85.
No, 85.
Yeah, 85. There's only one person that you could actually give this to. He was the first person to wear number 85 in the NHL, and he selected the number to mark his defection to North America in 1985, and it is Peter Klima. Probably the most famous thing he ever did was score the game-winning goal in Game 1 of the 1990 Stanley Cup Final between the Oilers and the Bruins. And I'm not positive this is, but the legend is that he basically didn't play for like three periods of the game, and they threw him out for a shift in one of the overtimes. I think it went two or three overtimes the game, and he scored to end the game.
That's a nice story.
And basically the Oilers rolled from there to win that series. I think they won in four or five games. And that was their last Stanley Cup, because Canadian teams don't win it anymore.
Yeah, well, maybe this year we'll change that. There's still lots to do this year. You don't think so? There's still lots
to do. Well, Edmonton's probably still our best bet to break the streak, but Montreal's definitely on the up and up. But
Toronto, where's Toronto?
Winnipeg, Toronto's on the downward. I think their window's probably closed. And Ottawa looked like it was on the way up, and then they've had a few things go wrong this year that they're sort of...
So we're not even eligible to make the playoffs, you think, at this point?
We're in the Leafs are in the playoff hunt. I would say probably 50-50 to make the playoffs, but they're definitely not what I would call a Stanley Cup contender.
What about Vegas Knights? Are they...
Yeah, they are. They are definitely a Stanley Cup contender. They're in Toronto tonight.
Damn it.
Oh, and Mitch Marner is going to make his return to Toronto, and I hope there'll be lots of booze.
So it'll be, you think there'll be booze?
Yes, there will. Yeah, there'll be lots. There was lots of booze when the Leafs played Vegas in Vegas. So I can only imagine.
The poor guy. That he's poor guy. Have. No.
Yeah. No. But you make your own bet.
He brought it on himself. He brought it on himself. Exactly. Is what you're saying.
All I'll say is that Bo Bichette will return to Toronto at some point with the New York Mets, and he will get a standing ovation. So
just like Lowry. Just like Kyle Lowry.
Like Kyle Lowry. Like there's lots of guys that left Toronto and were beloved when they came back, and there's a way to leave a city and there's a way not. And that's not just Toronto. It's every city, right? But a local boy should have known better, in my opinion.
Agreed. Well, this actually is a good segue because I wanted to talk about, I wanted to get your opinion about something here today. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pull it up because I took a screenshot of this and it's something you actually referenced to me. I don't know if you did it on the pod before, but it's that quote or that tweet or whatever it's from Carlo. How do you say his last name? Carlo
Colaiacovo. Carlo Colaiacovo.
Okay, so he wrote, minor hockey in Canada can share the blame too. He's talking about the World Juniors. Kids between 10 and 16 chase W's and build super teams while training with numerous skill coaches to improve their individual game instead of focusing on being coached and developing to play the game of hockey. Players on super teams don't know how to lose, and then they struggle to deal with the adversity. I see it firsthand, and it's very troubling. And then he wrote, you know, the world has caught up with, you know, Canada's hockey and it's, we have some time to change it. So this, do you think, you know, relating it back to Mitch Marner, do you think there's a bit of that with Mitch? And then now we are constantly seeing it, you know, ongoing. That's my first question.
Yeah. I mean, I think that hockey players have definitely changed over the years as far as there has become more of a individual focus, whether that's to get sponsorship deals or just to people to set themselves apart from the team, where hockey used to be a sport where like it almost was awkward for players to be seen as different than the group. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You know, the skill level in hockey's never been
but
better.
Do you think that's the gap in Mitch Marner's like exit of Toronto, where like he's a stud, you know, he grew up in the G, he was an all-star, he was but he was just really worried about Mitch. And I think you see that not only on his game, but maybe in the way he behaved or the things he said, in which now he arrives back in Toronto, gets booed for someone like, listen, like he grew up here, went through the G, has lots of friends, went to school here, played for the home team, and he still is getting, and like, he's a great success story, making millions, great hockey player, you know, great assist in the Four Nations, you know, or score, you know, everything he did, and he's still getting booed. Do you know what I mean? Like, so is that the gap? Like, is the gap that he's just not, like, we're not training the kids properly that way? What do you think?
I mean, from what everyone who's been around him as a Toronto Maple Leaf, they all like him. They all think he's a great guy, great teammate. He wasn't a selfish player. He was a team guy. He was a two-way guy, great defensive player, great offensive player. So it's not like Mitch Marner, the hockey player, is everything you'd probably want in a hockey player. And even Mitch would admitted like in interviews where he would say, you know, we're treated like gods in Toronto. It's not like he didn't, I don't think, appreciate the fans. I think that, I mean, he took a lot of abuse because he's a local boy who's the top guy who wanted a lot of money to play hockey in Toronto. And I think Leaf fans never, they never saw Mitch doing anything. They never saw Mitch putting the team above himself when it came to contracts. And I think with the, that's where the divide came. And then he didn't produce when it mattered the most in the playoffs. And I think when, I think people would have been fine with Mitch leaving Toronto at the end of this contract and going to another team. I think the way, if he'd accepted a trade and Toronto did well in the trade, I think everyone would have moved on fine. I think people feel that he left the Leafs in a worse situation and he could have done something different about that. And at the same time, it's maybe not Mitch Marner's responsibility. I mean, well, management could have handled this a lot differently. Whose responsibility is
it? You're getting paid tens of millions and you're like one of the core, you're like, you're one of the most important people on, in the organization, right? If you just summarized who are the most important people at MLSE when it comes to the hockey team, you know, you can say it's the president, you can say it's the GM, you can say it's the, like, whatever title, but it's also Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, you know, Nylander, like, you know, pick your top five to eight people on the ice.
Well, whoever makes the most money is usually the most.
So there, it is important for them to be part of it, you know, like they are a key employee, if you will.
Yeah, but the Leaf management also did not handle the situation Well, going back to Kyle Dubas and Brandon Shanahan, and then the current regime now, where they didn't necessarily handle either negotiations or, you know, pushed for a trade when it would have made more sense for the club.
Yeah. Okay, so then talking about kids now, like, so you yeah. got, you know, let's talk about it because we both have kids. I've got single A, U17, double A, mm-hmm. U10. You're in 16. U16 double A, but also, you know, you're touching the sun with the U16 triple A as you're an AP for that, you know. Yeah. Do you think Carlos correct? Like, you got one foot in both sides now, triple A and double A. You know, are you seeing this as part of the problem? And, like, if so, what do you think we can do about it?
I mean, I do think there's issues, and you could see it affecting where the World Junior team as far as how these kids are playing. I do think that ideally teams would be more balanced at the higher levels, and so that kids are playing more competitive games. I just don't see how that's going to change, because ultimately the kids who are on the top teams are more likely to get seen. And this is more talking about when the kids get older into those U16, U15 years where they're getting scouted, is that the kids want to look as good as possible, and they want to play with the kids who are as good as possible. And so to make them look better to scouts and to help them move on to the next stage of their career. So they're going to have these kids that are going to come together and coaches. I mean, it's no different at double A. Tanya's always had a very strong double A team, and she tries to bring in good kids, but also good players. And I've heard double A parents complain that it should be more balanced and that the talent should be more spread out. And would that make the players better playing really competitive games? Probably would, but the only way to really do that would be to almost have to almost run it like house league,
like a draft.
Everyone signs up, and the A players go. You know, the A players go.
That's not going to happen.
Go on each team. B players, and that's never going to happen. It's just never going to happen.
And it's really important. Like I've said this before. Like I learned this along the way, even with the single A. It's like as the years go by and the season goes on, it really becomes a tale of two cities, you know, or of two stories. Like you've got the top half and you got the bottom half. And generally the top half gets stronger and the bottom half gets weaker or stays somewhat the same, because when you do cut kids or you add new kids, generally you're trying to hit a team that's at the top. And so mm-hmm. you're generally attracting it. And if you're at the bottom, it's really hard to get those kids to join your team, because it's a hot lot of, like, you know, hopes and wishes and you know, we believe we'll do this, where, you know, if you're trying to get on another team, it's easier to get on, or it's not easier, but getting on a top team is, you know, much more attractive, because it's like, we have, and we did, and we want you to be part of it, you know? So there's a real, so you do see that happen throughout the season and throughout the years. And it's been consistent, like even in Aussie's league, like the same four teams dominate and the same four teams are at the bottom, like 6-7 years in a row now, exact same teams.
Yeah. For Barrett's league, last year was the first time we had a new team in the top four from U10 to U15.
That's the same right now for Ozzy's team. Like his team is now like 4-5, you know, which was, you know, like, so you get these like one-off stories, but like, you know, how do you combat what Carlo's saying, or how do you support what he's doing? I know. Okay. So sure, you could have a draft, but you know, if you have talent, if you have a kid that's in say double A trying to make it to triple A, or if you have a triple A kid who's like really trying to, you know, push themselves, they're doing extra skates, they're doing extra team stuff, and they're very much spending tons of cash. I mean, hockey has become completely unaffordable.
Yes.
Like, it is crazy, the cost of hockey. Everything from just going to skates to even try out for a team is lots of money, like 50 bucks or whatever. Equipment.
Which is a bit insane, because we all know how much ice costs.
I actually don't, so I'm naive.
Okay, so it's about $350 to $400 an hour.
Right, okay.
Okay, so when it's 50 bucks a kid, you know, you can get to that money covered off pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty fast.
Even with the instructor's time, if you're paying him. So somebody's making a lot of money off these, like, you know, birthday skates.
Yeah, no, exactly. So but I just mean, think,
so I know,
yeah,
I know Carlo, he has very good intentions. I mean, this is a guy who came through the system, played on the World Junior team, drafted in the NHL, played in the NHL. He's now got his kid playing in the, I believe he's in the Clever right now. But they're, you know, he's going to be the coach of Mississauga Senators next year. And he wants to do it differently. And he wants to run a program where it's about development and about keeping a group together. And it's really going to end up depending on the parents buying in and yep. the parents of kids that are developing sticking with it and not chasing a team that's higher up the standings, because the reality is at the young age, there's kids that are really good and they're going to make the biggest difference. I mean, you see it at Clive's age, you know, one or two great players on a team can be all the difference to
the big
team
time.
That's winning 8-0 or the team that's winning or losing 8-0. And so, but the thing is, the reality is the kids that are really good at U10, not all of them are going to continue to develop it. So there's going to be changes and there's going to be kids that are coming up. There's going to be kids that are going down. So, I mean, it's a long way of saying, I mean, ultimately it just becomes when we need way more really, really qualified coaches that have development as their main focus and not money or chasing trophies. And then we need parents to have patience with these coaches and their kids about their development and being and prioritizing their kids being in a really good environment that is helping their development and not chasing some other team or some other level. So yeah. That's really a big ask from a lot of people.
Well, it's a big ask for sure for a lot, because, you know, I think a lot of kids have the dream. A lot of parents have the dream for their kids. Mm-hmm. I think when you're spending $5,000 to $10,000 to $12,000, $13,000 a year on something, you know, mm-hmm. it's probably the most expensive thing people are doing every year outside of their mortgage or maybe a large family vacation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's high on the priority cost list. Plus, if you add in all the time and gas, you know, people are always just like, well, if I'm doing all this, you hear it all the time. If I'm doing all this, I want it has to be worth it. And, you know, patience is a virtue, you know, like, but not many people have it. And, you know, they want direct results and they want, and if they don't see a path to it, you know, whatever, they'll make the decisions that they want to. So I think, I agree with you. It's just, I don't, you know, there's no answer. I think that's correct here. It's just, that's the reality. But yeah, I saw that and I meant to ask you last time, what your thoughts were on that, but, yeah, good stuff.
I'm hopeful for Carlo. I think he's the exact type of person we want and need in minor hockey.
What's he coaching next year? You said Mississauga?
I believe it's Mississauga Senators. Yeah.
What age group?
It'll be 2017 next year. Is that I think 2017 is the groups that's coming in. And nice. I have a few friends who
U10. It'll be the U10 team.
Yeah, he'll be the U10 next year. Yeah. And I think I have a few friends who played in the NHL that kids are going to be playing in the GTHL next year for the first year. And it's going to be, I'm very interested to see how their journey goes. Cause they all have great insights and they have great, ideas of how it should be run, and they're not chasing anything. They're very even keeled and level headed about it all, and I just want to see how they how it goes for them, and I'm really hoping it goes well. Yeah. It went well for us.
You guys have done a great job.
Yeah, we've had a really good experience, and so it's not like it's like, oh my God, it's a disaster out there, but there's some stuff that's not great.
Yeah. Good. All right. What else is going on? You guys are playing some deep hockey here. What is how's Barrett doing? Because I know he's out. Is he not out?
Yeah, he's injured right now. He last weekend we were in a tournament in Oakville, the Winter Classic. Great tournament.
Yeah, we talked about we recorded halfway through that tournament.
Oh yeah, we recorded halfway through the tournament, but there was such a well-run tournament, the whole thing. Like, the only thing I with the problem, which we didn't love, is we played our round robin, our last round robin game Saturday afternoon. And then and the team did well. They went 3-0 and three good games against good teams. And then we played on the Sunday morning at 7 a.m., the quarterfinal, against Oakville Rangers. And all the quarterfinals at 7 a.m. wasn't like we got a bad deal. And actually, Oakville played the Saturday night, so they actually had a shorter turnaround for that game. But 7 a.m. is tough for 15-year-old kids.
Yeah, sure. It's tough for 11-year-old kids.
I didn't even. I have to admit, did not go.
Yeah. And you go to everything. On that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna stay and sleep this one off. But nice. We lost in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we lost Saturday night. We went back and
You guys were there too.
We were playing the Burlington Bulldogs, good friend Luke Jennings was on. So got to see Brian Jennings there. He happened to be on the other side of that ice.
Brian from ball hockey.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We played against them. They beat us 5-2, but we just weren't feeling it or anything. But Ozzie's team came back on Monday, and he played his old team, Ted Reeve, and they had a 4-1 win, and he got a goal. So he felt good about that. So
now, did he do any celebrate? Like, was there
he said it was a good snipe. I was away in Vancouver, so I tried to watch it on Live Barn. I did get a text from a parent that we used to be on the team with saying that Ozzie had a beautiful snipe. So,
nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
Like a lot of times, like when players score against their old teams, you know, especially in soccer, they don't really react. Like they play it cool. Was it at Ted Reeve Arena or was it at Don Montgomery?
It was at Don. It was our Monday night at Donnie.
Oh, okay. It was in his new home barn.
So new home barn.
He gave a little extra fist
pump. I think he gave a little pump and a hug to the crew, and a little high five. Good. Yeah. So, and then Cliver's team, we're trucking along. We played the Ice Raiders on last night. On Thursday night, and we just lost. But it's one of those games where, like, we didn't really lose. Like, we're playing significantly better, first of all. We are, like, an actual real team now. Like, and I don't know what switched, but it's switched on. The kids are working hard. Maybe they're just working together better. You know, maybe it's the whole Carlo theory that they've been working together and playing more and practicing, and they really want it. Like, they're definitely a dedicated group of kids and coaches. And so they are playing better. We lost 5-4, but really...
5-4?
Yeah.
Because I have to admit, I gave up on you.
No,
I was watching 5-4. It at work, and it was...
No, sorry, 6-4. It was 6-4 because they got an open net. So because they got an open net, but really it was like 5-4, at the end.
Yeah.
And but we had scored, and they didn't count it because the goalie saved it behind the line. So they didn't count it. So that goal never got counted. And if that goal got counted, we would have never had to pull our goalie and got an open net. So,
God, that was drama.
Yeah. So there is drama through it. And, but anyway, we fought back. We had beaten them before. We can beat them. We were playing better. We dominated the game. It just didn't come out on our end, is really what happened.
They do look like they had a couple kids that were pretty good, but that was, but overall, you guys were controlling the play.
Yeah. They have a few kids that are quite strong for sure, which the rumor mill is some of them are going to AAA next year. We'll see. So anyway, that is...
AAA signing period right now.
Yeah, well, listen, was like asking around AAA because I've never... done AAA, we don't play AAA, but just curious, we had done one skate a year ago and we had done one skate before that, maybe 2 years ago. So I'm always curious now because Clive's in AA, just like, hey, get some skates, pay for a skate, go see what it's like kind of thing. No like ambition right now to go there, just sort of thinking like what it's like to kind of expose them more or less.
Yeah.
Very little love back, I will tell you. There's not a lot of coaches calling back. A lot of coaches, it's a very, you got to know. Like, it's a full-time gig to try to figure that stuff out, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. We never did it. We never went down that route. So don't really know, but it always did seem a little bit, I mean, I always figured these coaches are in the ranks. They're looking at kids. They know who they want. And
that's what I figured.
If you're, if you're chasing them, they're usually, not,
that's right. That's how I feel too. Like, you know, in my message was as such. My main hang up though is just a little like, you know, when someone emails me at my in my job and mm-hmm. I don't want it unless it's spam from like LinkedIn or something, but if it's a person reaching out like, hey, you know, blah blah, I'll always write back, thanks for the email, not interested, appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah.
Kind, you know, because you never know who and when you meet these people again.
For sure.
You never want to have a like you know, forget that guy. Where I feel like in the hockey culture, even at double A, even in single A, I remember like, you know, reaching out for different teams and stuff like throughout the years. Like, it is amazing how many people don't even acknowledge. They just sort of like ignore. And it feels like they've got a green pass to do that, which I just like, sure, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Just not my style. Not my style. If anyone emails me, I'm emailing you back.
And the thing is, like, people remember. Like, and definitely. they might have other kids that maybe you would actually want or something. And all of a sudden, no, you're not even on their radar anymore. So it's actually not, if it's a one-off and you don't really care, sure. But if you're in the hockey business of like, you know, doing the, whether it's AAA, AA or single A, and you're going to be heading back in to do another group at a younger age, you don't know who's who.
Yeah, siblings, anything. It's just like, you know, just the world revolves around kindness and love, or should, you know, and there's not enough of it. Not, that's just a little, I got your email. We're good. We're, you know, there's no opportunity here, but thanks for reaching out. That's all you have to say.
Now, I will say, just from seeing what Tanya went through over the years with the Tie Cats, coaches do get a lot of emails. A lot of people reaching out. No, and I know it's not that, but like, I mean, for the most part, these people have jobs and lives. It's no, like, 100%. You know, it can be where it's like a bit, or like you put it off and then, oh crap, I never emailed that family back. I better send them back something. Now, I'm sure there's also a lot of people who are just like flush.
Totally. That's what I think. Anyway, we can move on. I don't really, you know, like I'm not overly offended. I know what I'm, you know, we're third time through as I've like, you know, like I get it. I just don't like it. Don't love it. I just like, if you email me, I'm going to give you a little acknowledge back, whether I say yes or no or nothing, but just acknowledge. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so, I told
anyway. Yeah. Well, Puff, we're 27 minutes in, 28 minutes almost, and we haven't even talked about the most important thing yet, which is what is going on in the G? What's going on, man?
Well, first off, I know we always start with the U16, but I just want to say this weekend coming up, January 24th and 25th, is the 9th annual I Play in the G Festival at Scotia Pond. And part of lots of stuff there, so things for families to win. I think Live Barn is apparently going to be on site and streaming all the action. That's what it said. I'm like, is the Live Barn representatives going to be there? Because I wouldn't mind a word or two.
Go drop off some cards.
Just be there and be like,
they don't call back. They don't have, you don't, hockey culture, don't call back.
I know, but that's why I might be motivated to head over to Scotia Pond to see if I can get some FaceTime with them. But also there will be a U18 single A all-star game, U18 double A all-star game, and U18 triple A all-star game, all on the Saturday at Scotia Pond. Admission is free. And, you know, that'd be a cool thing to actually see. We have a game at Chesswood on Saturday. I did float the idea of going early to watch some hockey, and
that landed like a lead balloon or
yeah, what? Tanya said, no way, we're doing two cars. So I will not be going, but I might try to head over while Barrett's the team's getting ready at Chesswood, to go see some of the, I think the U18 AA all-star game might be going on when we'll be in that area. But as always, we start with the U16 AAA loop. It's been quieter on the GTHL sked for a lot of these teams as players have been preparing for the prospect game in Peterborough that happened last week and the upcoming GTHL prospect game. So I think they've given a little bit of a downtime for these players as they get ramped up for the playoffs. and for some teams, the OHL Cup. Now, three of the top six G teams were in Oakville last weekend for the Oakville Rangers Winter Classic. The Mississauga Majors failed to get out of the round robin phase, with JRC and the Mississauga Senators both advancing and meeting in the semifinals. A bit of an upset as the Mississauga Senators beat JRC 6-3 before falling to Michigan-based powerhouse Honeybaked in the final 3-0. The Senators did prove their win over JRC with no fluke as they beat the Canadians once again in GTHL play 3-2 Tuesday night at Scotia Pond. It's pretty crazy. These U16 AAA teams, they're winding down their schedule. Some of these teams will be done like February 12th, 14th in that area.
Yeah, it's coming up.
There's only about 3 weeks left in some of these kids' season, which is crazy.
We actually watched the Honeybaked JRC game. Was on or Aussie's game on Saturday night. So we watched that. And what was neat about that, I must have missed something, because when the game ended, great game.
Yeah.
I think Honeybaked won. I'm not too sure. JRC won that game against Honeybaked. And they all went to the center of the ice at the end of the game, both teams, arms around each other on one knee. I think they did like a unified prayer or saying or something. So it was interesting. Yeah, it was like a hard game, you know, pushing around. But then at the end, they all just one knee down and arms around each other. So nice America-Canada unity there.
Yeah, maybe that the kids are trying to be the leaders to try to bring these two nations together.
Yeah, well, they're doing a good job then.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember what we were at. We were at a tournament not too long ago, and some of the kids were doing like prayer circles and stuff. After the game, which was interesting to see. Now the biggest tourney at the lower divisions last weekend was in Newmarket for the Silver Stick Finals, and the G was well represented. U16 AA saw three G teams take part in the finals, all from the West, and it was no surprise when the Vaughan Rangers, the top-ranked AA team in North America for years now, took home the title. It was far from easy as the Rangers came back from a 3-1 deficit in the semis against Kitchener to win 4-3. And then in the final, they built a 2-0 lead over Ottawa Valley Silver 7 and hung on for a 2-1 win. Congrats to the Rangers on another great achievement. In U14 AA, another West team came out on top. Again, not a huge surprise as a number one ranked team in Ontario, Greater Toronto Capitals. They won 5 of 6 games, beating Leaside 1-0 in the semis, scoring with 48 seconds left in the third. The final went a lot smoother as the Capitals built up a 4-0 lead after two periods and cruised to a 5-1 win in the Silver Stick final. So good for them. Now, it wasn't just the Silver Stick titles that were won by Chi teams last weekend. In Oakville, the tournament we've been talking about earlier, the U14 AAA final was an all GTHL affair, and it was the Toronto Titans winning in overtime over the Mississauga Rebels 2-1. The game winning goal for the Titans was scored with just 1 second left on the clock. In AA, the U16 Mississauga Beast allowed 5 goals over 7 games, including back-to-back shutouts in the semis and final to win the Oakville Rangers Winter Classic, beating the Nepean Raiders 1-0 in the final. That was the division Barracks Ticats were in. U14 AA, it was once again the Mississauga Beast that came out on top, going a perfect 6-0, beating the Sioux Greyhounds 6-3 in the final. And just to show Mississauga Beast isn't just dominant at the older age groups, the U10 AA Beast team also went 6-0 to take home the championship, beating Halton Hills Thunder 5-1 in the final. And I know Halton Hills at the younger age especially are very strong, so that's pretty impressive. Have you guys, has Clive's team come across the Mississauga Beast juggernaut yet?
No, I don't think so. No, we haven't. We do have a tournament coming up in Newmarket, King City. Maybe it's a King City tournament in 2 weeks. Okay. So I'm not too sure if our schedule is posted. I'll take a look on who we're playing, because maybe we are playing them there.
Because team is very strong. Now, staying in Oakville, this time in single-A U16 non-contact, the third-ranked team in Ontario shook off a slow start to the tournament, winning a 1-goal game in the quarters and semis before a comfortable 3-0 win in the final over the Port Credit Storm, the sixth-ranked team in Ontario. Finally, in U14 non-contact single A, it was an all-G final, and it turned out to be a significant upset as the Humber Valley Sharks, fourth place in the G standings, beat the top team in the West, the West Small Lightning, 7-1 to take home the title. What's interesting is the two teams played the day after the final in G play, and the Lightning won 3-0. So the Sharks definitely timed their win very well to win the tournament. And looking forward to this weekend, Silver Stick finals taking place in Port Huron. U13 AA 2013 age group sees 3G teams taking part: Leaside Flames, Vaughan Panthers, and the Mississauga Beast. And in single A, North Toronto is the lone G team in Port Huron. We were in that tournament last year with Baird's team, and great tournament, great facilities. They really do a good job down there in Port Huron.
And did you stay on the Canadian side or the American side?
We stayed in the American side, yeah. We rented a big cabin that all the
teams, I remember.
Kids,
yeah.
The kids stayed in and a few of the families, and we had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
And then you got to stay in a hotel without the kids?
No, some parents did. Tanya stayed with the kids, so I was with the kids too.
You stayed with the kids, yeah. I feel like they might have won the lottery. You got to leave your kid, kind of wrap it up at 10, 11, and go back to your hotel.
Yeah, I think the parents enjoyed that. But we had a pretty good spot, and a lot of families came to hung out.
Yeah, of course.
The cabin, so it was good.
So good. So, yeah, it's busy. Lots on the, and you said, AAA's got, 3 weeks left, 4 weeks, about left of the season before they start going into playoffs there.
We're definitely in playoff push mode.
Yeah.
And for the younger teams, they still have – everyone makes the playoffs with the round robins and stuff. But there's still a benefit to finishing as high as possible because you can
– because isn't it sort of like the top eight do – like what Clive's division is the top eight do something and then bottom
I believe four do something or something for Clive's division, it should be the top six make it in. And then the bottom six are, well, let me see. I'm actually looking at it right now.
This is live. Giving us live.
So basically what happens is 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th, and 7th place will all play each other. And then the top two teams will advance to the round robin first round. And then they'll play seven games, and then the top four make it to the semi. So Clive's team right now could end up playing 11 games if they can get through that first portion, which they should.
I'll take it.
Which they should, because and that's 11 games, and that would just get them in the semis.
Love it.
They could end up playing almost 20 games. So and Clive's team would be the favorite to make it into the next level, because I believe they're eighth.
Yeah, they're good. They're coming along. We got to stop those breakaways. Those breakaways are killing us.
That's what's killing you guys.
That's what's killing us. It's the breakaways. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, that's fun. So lots of hockey ahead for us. We got a quiet week because of exams. So they've actually they have made a little bit of a gap this week, it seems like, in hockey. I don't know if that's intentional or what, but it's – so Ozzie doesn't even play till the first. So he's got –
They didn't play all week. They play Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, so which is fine by me because Ozzy's got to study.
He does.
It matters. The grades matter. The grades matter.
Yes.
Okay. Well, listen, we're at the end of our show. Then we're at the end of episode 85. But what we usually do here, as you know, is we do the song of the week, and my friend. What is your song of the week? Seeing that you had the Mooseheads rally call last week, I heard that. Yeah, I listened to the episode just to listen to what that song was like, and the way you described it and the way that song came off was not what I was expecting. So, it was a lot more rocky,
higher energy.
I was expecting sort of a techno pop song kind of thing, but
no. It's from the early days of the Halifax team. I think it was year one or two that they started doing it.
Right.
My song, I've been in the car. I've been listening to Spotify and I've been searching for a song from the 80s.
Okay.
And then just playing off that. And so I've been getting a lot of my 80s tunes in, and then I was just so many good tunes. And then this one came on, Prince, Let's Go Crazy. And I was just like, this is such a good pump-up song.
Great song.
And even the way it starts and then it kicks in, that would be a great way, because right now I think Barrett's Team might be coming out to a killer song, but I don't think it's Mr. Brightside, when they like leave the dressing room to go on the ice.
Yeah.
And I think Let's Go Crazy, you start it and the boys are still getting fired up, and then when it hits, boom, the boys fire out of the dressing room. That'd be a
great way
to start a game.
Yeah, good. I like it. I love that song. I love Prince. R.I.P. Prince, but yeah, great song. I made this playlist that's like my muse. It has like over like 1,100 songs on it right now. And I've played it for you. When we're at your cottage or wherever, I always like put on. Just hit. It's one of those playlists that I've been working on for about 5-6 years. And any classic song. And one of the very first songs, some of the very first few songs I put on as I was starting the list was Little Red Corvette by Prince, as well as Raspberry Beret by Prince.
Okay.
Both little poppy, but Let's Go Crazy has made it onto it since. So
yes. Good deal.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, my song of the week is sticking with my theme. If you remember, I'm going to finish the season with All Canadiana. And I went with a classic, Ooh, What a Night by April Wine last week. I talked about April Wine a little bit. Today, I'm going to talk about a guy named Boy Golden. That's his stage name. His real name's Liam Duncan. He's a Canadian alternative country singer-songwriter based out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. He was born in Brandon, Manitoba, but moved to Winnipeg. And he's been making songs by himself. He's been, he probably has a supporting band. But right now he's put out an album in 2025. And just recently he has this song out called Suffer. Boy Golden, Suffer. And it is a great song. I have to tell you, I sort of tripped along it. I found it, what I do to find music, Puff, is I go on to New Music on my Apple, and I go into New Music Weekly, and I hit shuffle, and I'll just listen to like new song. I have no idea who it is, and sometimes like what is it? I skip it and stuff. And so I found it. I find these songs there. And anyway, great song, Boy Golden, Suffer. Check them out. Check out that song, and if you like it, go deep. Great Canadian guy from Winnipeg. Well, from Brandon via Winnipeg. Yeah. Boy Golden, check him out.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. So another Canadiana. Other than that, Puff, we got a big snowstorm coming. Lots of shoveling, lots of
we're running out of spots to throw the snow in our neighbor GCAT.
It's snowing right now. I'm looking out the window. It started.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just started.
Well, I'm heading to Barrett, and I are going to go to UCC to see the UCC U16 prep team play Shattuck St. Mary's, one of the top prep teams in the U.S. Sidney Crosby, Nathan McKinnon's old team. So we're going to check out and see them that game.
I am in jogging pants and making pizza. So
nice.
That's what I'm
also
doing.
Also fun.
Also fun. Anyway, well, thanks everybody for listening. Episode 85, we appreciate it. We'll be back next week, I think, because Puffy's in St. Martin.
Well, I am St. Martin next week. So
when we hang up, we'll figure out when the next recording is. But anyway, we try to make it every week.
Yes.
Regardless, good luck everybody out there. Hope everyone has great exams, but also I hope everyone has great games. Anything else, Puff?
No. It's good luck to the teams at Silver Stick this weekend in Port Huron, and have a blast.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Please share, follow, send us DMs, stuff. Thanks again for doing everything in the background. We appreciate it. And other than that, have a great day. Have a great time on the ice, and we'll talk to you soon.